Our gospel reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 33. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Several years ago, when I lived in Australia, my father flew down to visit and to tour around the area with me. And one of the many places we ended up going to was a cavern in New Zealand, on the North Island. I don't even remember the name or the exact place of this cave, but I can still vividly remember the experience. As our tour guide led us into this deep, dark cave where lights had been placed along the path so that it would guide us, and then other lights were directed up toward the incredible stone formations that were present in the cave. Well, once we got to what felt like the deepest part of this cave, the guide warned us that she was going to turn all of the lights off for a few moments so that we could experience the darkness in which these giant stalactites and stalagmites had been formed over the centuries. And before anyone had any chance to protest, she flipped the switch and we were in total, utter darkness. After waiting for what seemed to me to be a very long time, instead of just turning the lights back on, she struck a match. And from that tiny glow of light, the darkness was dispersed so that we could see just dimly the forms of all of the people on the tour with us, and we could also see an outline of those giant stone formations. All from the glow of one single match whose light had pierced through the darkness. In the gospel story Carl just read, we are reminded of a time when many faithful people were waiting in hopeful expectancy for the powerful light of a Messiah to shatter the darkness around them. They'd been waiting for what must have seemed like an eternity. Through times of exile, times of war, times of famine, times of peace and prosperity, times of oppression and depression. We are told in our story about a good, faithful man named Simeon, who had been promised by God that he would witness the Messiah with his own eyes before he died. So let's try to picture that scene, and in fact, I'm going to give you a little help up on these screens with my apologies to the choir. When Simeon saw the baby Jesus cradled in his mother's arms. Even though the sun had been up for a very long time, it was as if a powerful beam of light had suddenly been focused on them. And he saw with his very own eyes this little baby. This little baby was to be the Messiah that people for generations had been waiting to see. And then he prophesied. He said, "He is a light that will reveal God to all people. He will drive away the darkness that surrounds the world because of sin. And he will bring the light of forgiveness and hope and eternal life." And then Simeon said, "Now, Lord, you have kept your promise, and you may let your servant go in peace. For with my own eyes I have seen your salvation, a light to reveal your will to all people. And this child in his arms would light up the whole world." After Simeon had blessed Mary and Joseph, he went on to tell them something no parent would ever want to hear. He told them that this child would bring light into the darkness of the world, but that there would be those who would do their best to put that light out. Simeon had lived long enough to know that if God wanted to save us, somehow God must confront the worst about us, the things we do to one another, the things we do to ourselves, and the things we do to cause pain to God. And he knew that that confrontation would not come without a price. Salvation would be a very costly thing. There would be a cross standing beyond the manger. We know the story. We are part of the story. Because as Christians, we too believe that Jesus is the light of the world. But we also are still waiting. And as we wait for Christ to come again to establish everlasting peace, we will at times find ourselves waiting in places of partial darkness. For as the Apostle Paul wrote, "In this world, we can only see as though through a glass dimly or darkly. We may see the outline of a future and a hope, but it is not yet clear to us." And then there are those horrible times when we may find ourselves waiting in darkness as thick and impenetrable as that complete darkness I described earlier in the middle of that dark cave, with no hope in sight. And in those times of waiting, the truth is we even may have a hard time finding a handle to hold on to our faith. Waiting and watching and hoping and acting on that hope all are a part of what it means to be a follower of Christ in this world. But waiting is a huge part. Maybe that's what inspired theologian Lou Smeads to write this statement: "Waiting is our destiny. As creatures who cannot by themselves bring about what they hope for, we wait in the darkness for a flame we cannot light. We wait in fear for a happy ending we cannot write. We wait for a not yet that feels like a not ever. Waiting is the hardest work of hope." Waiting is the hardest work of hope. All through Scripture, we are told over and over again to wait on the Lord, to wait in patience for the hope that we can see now only dimly. Why does God make us wait? If God can do anything, why doesn't God bring us relief and answers now? I certainly don't understand all of this, but I do believe, at least in part, that what is going on is this. What God does in us and in this world while we wait is as important as whatever it is we are waiting for. Friends, we have been called into this body of believers, the Church of Jesus Christ, because we need to be in community while we wait. In times of darkness, through our caring ministries here at MIPC, we seek to strike a match, to light a match of caring, to shine into your circumstances so that you can be reminded of the hope it is to which you were called. And so when we hand you a prayer shawl, when we deliver a meal in time of need, or listen as a pastoral counselor or Stephen minister, when we contact you as your deacon, when we pray for you through our anointing prayer ministry or our cancer care support team, what we believe we are doing is striking a match to shine the light and love of Christ into your life so that his light can at least pierce through the darkness of whatever circumstance or situation it is you are facing, and maybe, maybe even give you a handle or an outline of an image of a future and a hope. That is what being a member of the community of saints is all about. In what many people would describe as these dark economic times we are in, then I too, as Paul did, ask you to continue to support the ministry here at MIPC, to strike a match with your pledge, to claim the goodness and grace of Christ for this world, a world that has finally been stopped in its financial tracks to question its priorities and its practices. By your continued support here, we can, as a church community with a world vision, continue to be a source of hope and light to you and to the wider community in this time of darkness and fear for so many. And we can continue to grow more in our understanding and our practice of what it means to be called children of God in this particular time of difficult waiting. Author Frederick Buechner writes about the labor that is involved in becoming children of God. He says this, "We labor to be born. All what little we have in us of holiness labors for breath, strains to be delivered of darkness into light. It is the secret inner battle of every one of us. And through all our laboring, God also labors to deliver what is whole in us from what is broken, to deliver what is true in us from what is false. But it is no easy matter to deliver us when half the time we don't even want to be delivered because we are so at home in the darkness." Friends, none of us comes to the end of our days with the saving more than a fraction done at least. But praise God, the end of our days is not the end of us. And that is what we celebrate together on this All Saints Sunday. For the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not and will never overcome it. And when this life is behind us, we will move on into the heavenly realms of light and love beyond our power to imagine, until at last, along with Simeon and all the community of the saints, we too will see Jesus face to face. And the light of his glorious face will disperse every ounce of fear and darkness left in us. And that, my friends, is well worth the wait. Let us pray. God, as your children, may we too fulfill the prophecy Simeon made about Jesus, that we too will be light to reveal you to all people And that one day, one opportunity at a time, we will disperse the darkness that penetrates the world because of sin and offer instead the light of forgiveness and hope and eternal life. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.